All right, hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I'm Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing the local podcast. Good morning. April the 18th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the east side of the country. Hope it's wonderful wherever you are at. It is a bit overcast and cool. We get the nice days and kind of the crummy days sprinkled all together. Today, it's not crummy. I mean, let's not be negative now. But, you know, and honestly, be careful what I wish for, right? Because, man, as soon as the temperature and everything changes, inundation of population. And that's never fun either. Every great thing brings a downside, right? Every yin has a yang. And that is definitely one of the things I feel like I've learned in recovery and in a spiritual journey, is that every yin has a yang. And yeah, so today we have a little more yang and a little less yin. But it's fine. Got up this morning, went for a nice walk, tried to air out the brain a little bit. Everything is very, my problem right now is everything's just fine. Right? Everything is perfectly fine. Went out in the boat yesterday, did some paddling, had some, had to do a few chores for the club. Move some boats around. We are getting ready to start the new paddle season this year. And, you know, we got to get the spec boats out, which we keep in this cool barn. We hoist them up into the rafters. This guy, Gary, lets us keep the boats there. It's very, thank you, Gary. Gary's awesome. But we had to go get them. And we have these older boats that are really heavy. We had to move us around. And we paddled and we did all this. And, yeah, yesterday was just one of those days. You know, mentally, before the day, a lot of, you know, not anxiety, but just, you know, being aware of what was coming for the day and then working through it and getting on the other side of being fine. Went to a meeting last night. A good friend of mine celebrated 7 years. Congratulations to her. You know, it was awesome. One of the, you know, I think as a parent, you know, I've always said my kids have never seen me drink, right? And like that is going to keep them from drinking. My kids have never seen me do drugs. Like that's going to keep them from doing drugs, right? My kids have never seen me at the very bottom. Like that's going to keep them from hitting the bottom. God, I hope it doesn't, right? So there is no there's no guarantees. But one of the cool things about my friend celebrating is I have grown up in this program. And when I say grow up, just through the years of being sober with her father. And, you know, it's cool. I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't even know if I even want to say that you hope your kids never have to work a 12-step program. I shared last night, you know, I'm the luckiest thing that ever happened to me is that I became an alcoholic or am an alcoholic and that I've had to work these 12 steps because it's really given me a life beyond my dreams. And I know that it's given her a life beyond her dreams. And what I shared last night was it's been just awesome, right, to see her father, right, watch her get sober. It's a very big deal. And, you know, listening to her story last night, the struggles, and like all of us, right, I mean, I had one DUI. I could have had 1,500, right? I was a drunk driver every day, right? This person that was sharing last night had a few of them, right, but you know, luckily, due to situations, you know, they didn't all turn into what they could have. And, but finally, right, when we're ready, we're ready. And it was great to see her celebrating 7 years of being ready. And, you know, it just melts my heart to know that, you know, her father's basically sitting, you know, 10 feet away watching her celebrate. Pretty freaking awesome.
Hiding somewhere beyond the rain, needing for the light.
Darkness, Wreckage, new Pearl Jam. That album comes out tomorrow. If you're into Pearl Jam, new album tomorrow. And actually, Pearl Jam will be on Howard Stern April 22nd, so that is going to be in 4 days. For the first time, Eddie Vedder was on Howard Stern during the pandemic, but for the band Pearl Jam to be on Howard Stern, this is a first. I don't know. I know they're performing. I don't know if they're in studio or if they're going to do something more Zoomish, but yeah, great song. Great song, Wreckage. But yeah, it was just a great, you know, great night, great celebration, cake, you know, all the bells and whistles of every celebration. It was awesome. And then to listen to her share and to share her story. And, you know, it reminds me of my own story, and I won't share her story, but I remember coming in for the very first time with really some motivation and just sort of scratching my head going, I do not know how I am going to do this. Right. You know, she ended up, you know, the topic that she asked for, and I found this to be sort of interesting. The top, because, you know, usually people share, and she shared, and then she said, my topic is, what is your favorite saying in the program? And there's so many, right? One day at a time, stay in the, you know, all of them. Think. My personal favorite is, it can get worse. That is my personal favorite, because that is the one I don't ever seem to think about, right? I always think it can only get better. And I have proven it, and I have been an example of it. It absolutely can get worse. And but I just remember early on and her sharing in her story, just like, how in the fuck am I going to stay sober? Because first of all, I didn't really want to be sober, right? I've said this in 10 different languages, right? I did not want to be sober. In fact, a guy shared last night, my favorite saying, he goes, and Tom said it, right? He said, pointed at me. And I was like, oh, my God, what did I say? And he said that, and I do remember saying this, and I said, I did not become an alcoholic until the first day I came into this program. Up until that point, I just drank a lot. And I think that is, you know, when I think about that saying and the fact that it actually resonated with him, you know, and I think that was one of the big things early on in recovery is I just drank a lot and liked it, right? Once I admitted I'm an alcoholic, now I have to be accountable. Right now that I've labeled it, oh, right. I used to joke around about being an alcoholic, but once I had to identify, you know, because I think that's one of the great things about the first step is we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. Now we've addressed it, right? Now we put some sunshine on it, and now it's a condition. It's a problem, right? Now we have to fix it. Up until that point, I just drink a lot. If I just drink a lot, there's not a lot to fix. All I say is, well, maybe I'll just drink less. Right, but once I crossed that line and said, I am an alcoholic and my life is unmanageable, now I have a condition and now I have to address it. And but just thinking back and being like, how in God's name? Because, I've said before, I wasn't really a big fan of getting sober. If it wasn't for crashing cars and fist fights and, you know, arrests and all the other bad shit that came with it, I loved it, right? I loved it. I can think back, and I don't think about it a lot because it is scary, right? It is that going through that fence into the dark yard, man. But there, I have memories of just that first drink and just, you know, because, and like she said, and many people have said before, as soon as I put the drink in my mouth, I started to fit in, right? I was just a guy that was so afraid. I couldn't fit in. I wasn't a part of. I wasn't good enough. All of that stuff, right? I wasn't great in conversation. I wasn't very funny. I wasn't very athletic. I wasn't very tall. I didn't run the fastest. I wasn't the best on a bike. I was nothing. But as soon as I put that freaking drink in my mouth, I became part of the group. And that's powerful. It is very, very, very powerful. It is quite the introduction, right? Welcome. It's just, if that's what we're kicking it off with, because, and I think about it today. I mean, I remember being in 10th grade, you know, I'd had some beers, right? I'd smoked some joints, right? I'd had some experimenting, but when I went to 10th grade and I hooked up with my three friends, right? And I'll keep them anonymous, great people, right? Not their fault, but they liked to party, and they had a big clique of friends, and they were into, you know, Ozzy and Metallica and all these great bands and playing guitar And that's how we met, through guitar class, right? And they said, you want to hang out this weekend? We're going to get a bottle of Evans. And I was like, what's that, right? What is that, right? And I remember doing my first shot. They used to pour it in a coffee cup and a Coke, and we would just take shots and chase it with Coke. And I just remember feeling all of a sudden like I'd been brought into the club, right? It's like that Seinfeld where George has the picture of the beautiful girl, and he says it was his girlfriend, and she died, and they let him into the secret club. I felt like I'd been invited into the secret club that I had been wanting to be part of my whole life. And it's a great way to start, because, you know, that is a lot of fun. Unfortunately, over time, you know, my last drink was alone. No friends, no secret club. I had a typical routine. The last day I drank, like I've been drinking, I had the same routine. I was working, went to my parents. First, my day started off with shame and guilt because of the night before, because, you know, I was fucking drunk the night before, drinking like a sailor, right? And then the next morning, waking up, shame and guilt, right? And slowly transitioning, you know, into sobriety, daily sobriety, right? Alcohol wearing off, because I woke up drunk every morning. Every morning I was buzzed, and but slowly coming to, right in the middle of the day, and feeling like shit, and feeling with a bunch of shame, of that more shame and guilt. Not going to do that again. Let's give it a break. Come on, what's the matter with you? Then I would get it halfway through the day, and then I'd start to consider making some considerations, preparations. Right, maybe we'll just have some beer. We just stuck, and I used to tell myself, Tom, if you just stuck to beer, man, this would be fine. Here's the solution. Just drink beer. Just drink beer. No big deal. Okay. We'll do that. That'd be, you know, I'd work out the plan. That would be it. I'm going to just drink beer. And then, you know, I'd swing by my parents, have a few beers, and then the beers would start to lube up the brain and mind and the selfishness. And next thing you know, I'm picking up a bottle of vodka. And I'm doing it all over. And just as I did that night, and I had a few drinks of vodka, you know, I used to buy a pint, make a few big drinks, and then I head down to the bar. And that's where I was that night, down at the bar, and then the devil came out. You know, no fun, no laughing, no cheering, no, just self-centered insanity. And then got punched, right? And then the shame came in, and all of a sudden I had to make an adjustment, and that is when I had to admit I was an alcoholic. And from that point on, I had to freaking work on it, right? It just was such a I like to say that it was such an abrupt change, right? But honestly, I'd been heading to this point for so long, right? I look back, you know, if I want to focus right into that moment, I'm like, oh, my God. But if I, you know, if I pull the camera back a bit, you know, I can see the descent. I can see the whole path, right? You know, early drinking, and then over to California into drugs, and then using alcohol to sort of balance myself out on drugs, right? And then going to jail, and then coming to Delaware. And for some reason, this conversation has come up a few times. So grateful that amphetamines were not in this area at the time. And unfortunately, I just focused all of my self-centered addictive behavior on drinking. And I mean, I was drinking beer, I was drinking vodka, I was drinking Jack, I was drinking everything. Smoking cigars, smoking cigarettes, smoking weed, doing coke, whatever I could find. The devil was on the loose, and there was nothing I had no idea. And then in one abrupt sweep of the hand, my life changed, right? And so coming into this, I'm like, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And early on, man, the change feels so good, right? The change feels so good. I shared driving down that road after my first meeting, experienced something I'd never even felt before. The freedom of not being drunk while I'm driving a car. That I hadn't felt that for many, many years. And that was my first experience, not only with sobriety, but that was my first experience with God. Right. And that's where my journey has led me to this place. And I cherish that, right? That feeling, that spiritual place, the freedom for fear and all that shit, right? To me. But, you know, at the time, I'm just like, wow. But that eventually fades off, right? I just had the right things. And the person that shared last night had the same sort of thing happen to her, right? Came in, you know, finally, you know, was sentenced, right? Was sentenced to jail and then ended up in a rehab, right? And then was sentenced or ended up into a recovery house, right? And then was sort of sentenced and a few other things that sort of kept her in the fences, sort of like what happened to me. I came in, went to the hospital, did that 5 days up at fourth floor or fifth floor. You know, AA came and found me. But somehow in my drunkenness, I signed up for this year-long outpatient program, which, you know, I was like, okay, right? It felt so good that I was like, okay. And luckily I had that. And by then I had made some friends and I had gotten a sponsor and I had been sort of inundated, right? I had been taken under their wings for three or four years. And then when I went out on my own, I realized I hadn't done shit, right? And drank again. And, but it's just that early recovery. And, you know, and I sponsor somebody else, I guess. And I'm the worst fucking sponsor. I shouldn't even sponsor people because I don't know if I should or shouldn't, but I'm sponsoring a person, and this person I had, you know, I said, call me every day. And of course this person didn't call last time, which is fine. Right. I told her I'm not a punishing sponsor. That's what someone told me to do. My sponsor said, I told my buddy Matt, I need a sponsor. He goes, call me every day. And I, for some reason, I called every day. Right? I called every day. This was a chore. This was a task that was put in because I'm a victim. Right? This is something I got to do. Right? I'm going to prove to him I'm better. I'm proving to him that I want this. I'm going to prove to him all of this, which is still probably fucking sick. Right? But I called every day. And it seems like when I tell people to do that, call me every day, they don't. And I don't know, maybe this person called me. It doesn't say I'm going to answer. It just says dial the damn phone. And this person, I don't know if they called, hadn't called. I know I had missed one call. I just called the person this morning just to say hi. And they're like, well, I hadn't heard from you, so I figured it was over. And I'm like, over? Right? I'm trying to help you. What's over? Right, I'm trying to help you. This is about getting sober if you want it. I am not a punishing sponsor. I'm not a punishing person. I think, you know, we all have to go through the journey, however we have to go through it, to get to the place where we get to a point where we want to be sober. Right? That point where we identify ourselves as an alcoholic, right? Like that. Up until the day I quit drinking, I was just The day I quit drinking is when I became an alcoholic. Up until that point, I just drank a lot. And that was exactly what it was. I didn't have any accountability. I really didn't have any awareness at all. I'm actually in shock sometimes that I was even at that point. But here I am, right? I do think about some of the great sayings. You know, I talked about the one I always liked, which is it can get worse, right? I do think that that is real. But there are some fantastic sayings, and I think the sayings are exactly for that time, right? Early on recovery. I still use the sayings today, right? There is never a bad time, I suppose. But in the beginning, right, one day at a time, right? This too shall pass. Think. Let's think about it. What are some other ones? But the mind your own, right? Whatever they are, but they're good reminders of the bad behavior that I had. And one of my ones that I had that day and that I still have today is that I do not mind my own business, right? And I have to start, I talked about that yesterday, and I have to try to be better about that. As a saying, right? Mind your own business. You know, keep your nose pointed straight. Stay centered. Right. If I'm going to stay centered, I need to look forward. You don't. If you're trying to balance, you're not looking to the side, and that's my problem. I'm looking to the side. I'm not staying balanced. And you know, I love preaching about holding the hand of God. Right. Being in that safe place of fear. At the same time, looking to the right while I try to stay centered, about ready to fall off the beam. Right. This recovery and the relationship between self and humility is interesting. Right. You know, like the guy said, we break each. I break my arm trying to hold the door for people, and then we run each other in the parking lot. And that's the same sort of thing with recovery. Sometimes I can tell you exactly what to do while I don't do what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, it starts to reflect in my life. It's my life is great, but, you know, I think like everybody, you know, this situation in the world today is a little challenging, you know, financially. Our financial situation's okay, right? But we have to do without. We have to do without a lot of stuff. And that's okay. But sometimes we want stuff, right? Even the best of us want some things. And so we're struggling a little bit because, you know, I want to, I like the freedom that we have, but I also don't want to rip our eyes out fighting about it, right? I think we can do better. It's about conversation, right? Being honest with one another. You know, we'll see. I will say one thing. You know, as a person in recovery, you try to be nice, right? You try to be fair. You want to be honest. You want to be the best version of me, right? I don't want to fall back into those things that I used to fall into, you know, fighting and arguing and being inconsiderate. I don't want to get back into that. But at the same time, I'm not going to be a fucking doormat, right? I have put a lot of work into just to be a normal human, right? There's nothing special about me. In fact, I'm less than special. I'm just normal, right? But, you know, I put a lot of work into being normal. And I don't like to be taken advantage of. And I don't want to be treated badly. I don't treat people badly. I try to be fair. And I try to show up. And I try, I give respect. And I would like to be respected. And, don't take advantage of my kindness. Don't take advantage of my serenity. Yeah, because that's sort of how I start feeling. And then, you know, that I'm not a victim of it, right? I'm not a martyr, but I'm just warning people, listen, I'll do what I can. And I'll, you know, sometimes, you know, I may not ask questions. Sometimes things are better left unknown, right? Especially when it comes to finances and families. But at the same time, listen, we do need to have conversations. Right, I'm not going to put my head in the sand. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, what happened? What happened to us? Right, I am not going to do that. We have to take a hard look at things, and you know, and sometimes we do without. The problem is we do without a lot of things. You know, the fact is my wife doesn't work; she's a stay-home mom, which I totally appreciate. That's a great job. But you know, there's a lifestyle you have to be able to have that, and I'm not sure we've all gotten on the same page. Listen, I probably buy too much junk sometimes, right? I bought a bike rack. What else did I buy? I bought a couple things. I bought some new shorts, right? I got summer coming up. I bought some shorts for work, but I bought them at Walmart. They were like $18, right? I bought an $18 pair of shorts, which is not that bad, really. I mean, I've spent more on shorts, but regardless, whatever. I'm over it. The phone was ringing. I have this is my last week here. I'm dealing with this stuff too. And, shoot, what did I do? Hold on. All right. I had to go get my phone to try to wrap this thing up. I got a busy schedule today. People calling. This is my last week. Yeah. Interesting. All right. Let's see if we can do a daily reflections and then, yeah, congratulations to my friend who celebrated 7 years. That was awesome. You know, wonderful to be part of that group. You know, if you're new, just working out this, coming into this thing, this whole new transition, you know, use the phrases. That's what I was sort of getting into. One day at a time, right? This too shall pass. Go on our second thought. Think, right? All these little things. Get a sponsor. You know, all of the suggestions that are made. All right, let's see here. Today's daily reflection, self-honesty, April 18th. The deception of others is nearly always rooted in the deception of ourselves. When we are honest with another person, it confirms that we have been honest with ourselves and with God. Yeah, as Bill sees it, page 17. When I was drinking, I deceived myself about reality, rewriting it to what I wanted it to be, deceiving others is a character defect, even if it is just stretching the truth a bit or cleaning up my motives so others would think well of me. My higher power can remove this character defect, but first I have to help myself become willing to receive that help by not practicing deception. I need to remember each day that deceiving myself about myself is setting myself up for failure or disappointment in life and in Alcoholics Anonymous. A close, honest relationship with a higher power is the only solid foundation I found to be honesty with self and with others. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like some fourth and fifth step work, right? But yeah, you know, if you're going to do this, you might as well be honest about it. Problem is, we have a lot of habits. You know, a lot of habits. You know, if you take a person that lies a lot of that's a habit. And a lot of times they'll lie right just out of habit. You're like, why did you lie? I don't know. It's like a habit. So, you know, if you're going to start over in this life, you might as well start over on the best foot you can, right? And I think that also falls into like the third step, right? Just making better choices that reflect in our lives. That was one of the big things I remember when I got sober, was that when I just started being better, right? When I stopped, you know, drinking and driving, when I stopped doing drugs, when I stopped having to buy drugs, right? When I stopped having to run around in being shady, right? In the streets, dealing with weird people. You know, when I stopped all that stuff, the biggest one was drinking. I remember coming to work, like in my first week of sobriety, being like, yeah, I'm sober. This is weird, right? Because it had become such a habit. But I still had, you know, I still had the same feelings and emotions and the behaviors as a person that was still actively drinking. And that's why, you know, we have these steps to start reshaping us. It's nice when we can have somebody that we can work with that can reflect back and you can be like, is that how I looked? Or is that how I really was behaving? And they're like, yeah. And you're like, oh, God, right? And so you just want to start getting better, right? Like the person I sponsor, I'm, you know, the person brings up things and I go, let's write it down. Just write it down. I don't really know how to be a sponsor. I always thought one thing about the person last night that shared, you know, that she sponsors people and the person that sponsors her jumped right into the steps and started working on them. I'm not sure really what to do with the steps. I know what to do with the steps. The problem is, as a person that's been doing this for so damn long and I think about the path and it was in my mind, I wanted to hurry and get better, better, better. But the fact is it took so long, right? It's such a grind, right? I just had to hang in there. That's what I say. Just hang in there. Don't drink and hang in there, right? Because it is such a grind. There is, you know, I think if a person works a step too soon, I don't really know that they're doing anything. Right. But at the same time, like, well, is that better than nothing? Right. Are you still starting to, you know, kind of get yourself involved and starting to hear the words and starting to think about them? Maybe. But man, I don't know. Anyway, I hope everyone has a great day. Keep just, you know, don't drink, go to a meeting and work with a sponsor and hopefully life will get better. But congratulations, my friend. I hope everyone has a great day and I'll talk to you later. Bye.